This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Are we not the bestest of friends already?
Only in media.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the only podcast that isn't mad it didn't get invited to Wyatt Johnston's birthday party. We're sure the invitation is just lost in the mail. Mark, happy stargazing.
I was wondering why you weren't there.
Hey, wait a minute.
I got to cut the lock off the Pavelski refrigerator so we could get the beverages out.
It's a fine selection of IPAs and stouts, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Good barbecue. I mean, what more do you want? How did you not get invited?
I mean, you'd think after all I've done for this team, the long suffering podcast, how dare they? must have been a pretty good celebration because, of course, Dallas picked up the big dub last night in Colorado, pushing the Avs to the brink, 3-1 series advantage. Mark, it was a game.
It was a Wyatt Johnston fence.
It was. He was the second person ever to score a power play goal and a shorthanded goal before his 21st birthday, technically, because, and this was my favorite bit in what was otherwise a very dire broadcast. I'm not a big fan of the national coverage all the time, but they did have the fun factoid. Did you hear the one about Glenn Wesley?
Yeah. Apparently games that get canceled or don't finish don't count in the official stats.
So while Glenn Wesley also scored a shorthanded and power play goal before his 21st birthday, the power went out at the Boston Gardens and the game was abandoned. So those goals don't count, meaning it's just Gretz and Johnston at the top of that particular record.
Yeah. So 40 years from now, we expect to see Wyatt Johnston on national broadcasts, and you won't like him then.
Maybe they'll know his name by that point. They'll finally
give him his tea back.
I mean, it would be amazing. It would be amazing. But the more important thing is Dallas got the win. They had a bunch of stuff going well. We're going to get into all of it, everything that happened. Wyatt Johnston, of course, being a primary source of offense. But Mark, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. And Mark, where do you want to start in regards to last night's game?
Well, I think we start with that first period, which the Stars came out. It was Colorado that was supposed to come out with the push, and the Stars came out that way instead.
Yeah, I think it was we all were told to expect there would be a major Colorado push coming out of the gate, and it just never really manifested, did it?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you have to put that on, you know, Taves is out, Nichushkin has his own personal demons that he has to deal with, and apparently, the locker room is not in unison in how to feel about all this, and it kind of showed on the ice.
Yeah, and from what we gather, it was about an hour before game time that they found out all of this was going down. So it wasn't exactly something that the Avalanche had an opportunity to prepare for. And this is a team that was already scuffling offensively and playing against the Dallas team that really seemed to be dialed in. And they were able to, I remember talking before the game started, kind of the fear was, well, what if they get overconfident? And that very much was not the case.
Yeah, they came out. They were pouring pucks at the net, high quality chances. Georgiev was the only guy really showing up to play, and he made some incredible saves. But ultimately, a little puck jack off of the Norris candidate Makar, and Johnston whacks away and puts one in the back of the net.
And it's just
1-0, and it could have been a lot worse.
I mean, Georgiev is this. I would argue that the real story of this series is Georgiev, and this, you know, last night, like you said, this game would be done and dusted after about 15 minutes, if not for his efforts between the pipe. And that's not the first time this series that we've said that about, you know, the Colorado goaltender. So he was fantastic. And Mark, it's almost like this Wyatt Johnston stuff. I don't want to say it's not as surprising anymore, right? He is no longer, in my brain at least, you know, there are the guys that kind of the unexpected contributors, and you always kind of, you celebrate it in a different way when a guy like Radek gets a big goal, because they don't happen all the time, right? There's a different role in the lineup. Why has sort of reached this stage for me at least, where there's not that, there's elation, don't get me wrong, but it's the joy of watching someone do what you expect versus the joy of watching someone, you know, break those expectations. He's just been phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean he's a step above. I wouldn't say it's a big step, but he's certainly one of those, you know, six or seven guys on the Stars who can show up at any given point and put the puck in the net. And the Stars' depth is just it's so shown in this game. And I think it took something like this to get the national media to finally pay attention to say, you know, Dallas. We may not talk about the individuals all that much, but Dallas kind of brings it. And how do you shut them down?
Yeah. And I think especially, right, like when you have a goalie playing as well as Georgiev is, what's the, you know, you've got kind of a limited range of solutions. And one solution is to have an individual moment of brilliance. And that's a great way to do it, but that can be really difficult to just manufacture. Another way, and something that I think we're seeing, is I think Dallas just wears him down when you can never take a shift off. Right. Sometimes it's Stankoven. Sometimes it's, you know, Jason Robertson. Sometimes it's Wyatt Johnston. Sometimes, you know, when the list, Sagan, you know, Marchman, like when the list of people that can generate offensively goes on and on and on, you wind up in situations where, like, it's really, really difficult for anyone to stay dialed in that much. And I think that's how you get to, you know, a loose rebound that turns into Johnston's first goal, right? That's how you get to even the floater that Haskinen scored from the back end. And that's, you know, all of a sudden there's a screen and there's a goaltender that's been peppered in a puck's over his shoulder and into the net. And I think that you're right that the depth is finally getting credit, because it seems like the relentless pace that Dallas is able to offer, right? Because they can, and relentless, not just, yes, it started last night offensively, right? It was like 12-2 shots or something absurd early. But I would argue that Dallas, even when Colorado becomes the ascendant team, they still struggle with Dallas's relentless pace, because Dallas can continue to attack and defend.
Yeah, right? I mean, the only time you really have to worry about the Stars, I think, is when they just start flipping the puck out of the defensive yep. zone and do it in a way where they aren't trying to create offense with it. I mean, and they, part of the offense is definitely flipping to a cherry picking forward who can get under the puck and make a move. But every once in a while they get into this state, and they did it early on in the third, even in this game, where they just kind of flip it out only to have it come back right at them.
Yeah.
There's nobody there to receive it. And that just means they aren't skating. And that's the one danger and the one weakness that I've seen out of this team.
Well, it's the difference between a turtle and a counterattack, right? Yep. And that's it's nuanced, right? But that's the frustrating thing about the turtle is you can never get separation because you never try and attack. And so the turtle is just saying, we're hoping that this score doesn't change. Right. Whereas a counterattack, right, Dallas scored, you know, Dadonov got his goal, right? Dallas has been consistently able to score And this is where I think we get into, if you look at some of the stats, right, Colorado has definitely carried the play in the third period when they had to. But the reason that you don't panic if you're a Stars fan in the way that you might in a pure turtle situation is the scoring chances are staying level because, yeah, Dallas isn't getting as much of the puck. But when they do, it's a 2-on-1. It's a 3-on-2. It's a legitimate offensive opportunity. Because, Mark, to your point, it's not just – and they you can see the contrast when they fall into the flip like you're talking about. But when they're not just in flip-it mode, they're getting up the ice with intention. And sure, the primary job is to be back and to defend and to make sure nothing bad happens. And that's most – that is plan A, right? But there's still this eye towards, well, okay, but when we get the puck – what do we do with it? And I think in this series, to devastating effect, most of the time Dallas's answer has been, well, if we're going to get the puck and they're out of shape attacking us, then we're going to counter and we're going to get something out of it.
Right, exactly. What you're doing is you're forcing the Avalanche to make a decision where they're going to be aggressively pinching down the boards. They're going to be doing all the things that need to activate the defense to create scoring chances. But you know that it's a gamble on their part, because if they fail at one of those steps, then they're going to have an odd man rush going the other way, or at least somebody's going to have to make a good play in order to stop Dallas from coming back.
And this, I think, is where, and you know, we do it, but it's always with a grain of salt because it's the online psychology aspect. But this is where I think pressure inside the game situation manifests, right? Because when you're playing against a turtle, that is frustrating, right? You're doing everything you can. Bunch of shots are getting blocked. They're not going in. It's difficult to continually reset, refocus, and reattack. It gets emphatically more difficult when not only are you struggling to get anything through, but every time you don't get something through, some idiot's going the other way, threatening to score on you. You know, it's one of those, like, you can't, it's not just that you can't do anything. It's that when you try to do something, it winds up in the back of your net, or at least as a scoring chance. And that just compounds the, well, you know, it's so easy for them and here we are struggling. This is terrible.
And, it comes down to, I think, you take a look at the numbers, and that top line for Colorado is the only line that's really creating threatening opportunities. Mm-hmm. And then you take a look and say, well, that's maybe not even true, because we've seen a Kiviranta goal. We've seen a Duhaime goal.
Mittelstad, right?
And Mittelstad, which a second center. So those are the guys who are producing, but that's not a pathway to victory for Colorado. Those are just those added bonuses, and they don't mean anything unless the top line's producing. And Dallas has figured out how to frustrate and how to keep the Colorado top line and particularly Makar off the board.
Not only that, and I agree wholeheartedly, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. The other piece of that, though, is Dallas has found ways to extend their leads, and they've managed to, because I do think if your plan is to beat Cale Makar 2-1, then that's a dangerous plan, right? Which is why we're talking so much about the difference between a turtle and a counterattack, is that works because you keep extending the lead. And that I think gives you, because you can't plan around not giving anything up at all to McKinnon. That might happen sometimes and it's great, but you can't build your win around that not going down. So I think it's been really impressive to see the way Dallas's defense has risen to the occasion. And I think part of why that's impressive is you've also seen the offense rise to the occasion.
Yeah, and, the game's entirely different if Dadonov doesn't get goal four there. Things were a little iffy there. It's not that McKinnon didn't get his chances. He put some real good chances just over the net. Makar had, I think, a better game here in game four than game three, at least offensively. The turnover was pretty egregious. But, for the most part, he had some opportunities. And Ottinger made some saves. They missed the net perhaps a bit more than they wanted to. But an inch or two one way or another, and all of a sudden we have a close game and we're having potentially a different conversation.
Yeah.
So this isn't a victory that says, okay, Colorado's done for.
No,
they still are threatening, and they come into Dallas. They put on a good show and get some lucky breaks, put the puck in the net, especially with that top line. And all of a sudden, we're looking at this a little bit more like, hey, you know, Carolina's coming back against New York. There's no reason that Dallas can think that they've defeated this foe, and they shouldn't be on their toes and ready to just finish it off in game five at home.
Yeah, I mean, I think the good news is they've got an example of, you know, the series in Vegas, right, is a very good example of, and we're watching it in play out in New York with New York and Carolina right now, is this particular team has firsthand experience not taking things like this for granted, which I think is a major advantage, because you're right, you know, there's this series in the same way that, like, listen, it's a couple bounces in overtime away from just being over, right? So you can say it both ways. And I think that's, if you're the Stars, that's how you try and stay dialed in, because no, this is not a vanquished foe moment where Dallas has figured out something definitively to push them past the Avalanche in round two. This is a Dallas has figured out that if they come out and play with the highest level of intensity and play their style and impose their will, like, Dallas has figured out that they can be successful doing all of those things. But the caveat is doing all of those things.
Doing all those things. And, you know, it's hockey. So, you know, stuff happens. It's a game, yep, of inches. And sometimes, you know, it's bar down and sometimes it's bar out. I think what makes you feel
Mark
good is
a quarter
Stars
of an inch to the right and you would have missed the net altogether.
Yeah, exactly. But you have to look at this and say, Dallas has created a way of playing against Colorado in this series where they're giving themselves opportunities to win. And Colorado has yet to develop a way to play against that counters that advantage.
Yeah. It's,
so
it's
until Colorado, right, until Colorado comes up with a theory of how do we win if our top line doesn't produce, and Dallas has ways to limit the production from that top line, how do we win a game? And, yeah, and how do we do it consistently? Because at this point, you're going to need to do it three straight times. And if you're dependent on luck to win three in a row, you're most likely going to be sorely disappointed.
It's a hard thing to lean on. And it's also progressively harder to lean on, okay, you know, one otherworldly performance from, you know, Nathan MacKinnon, and that's a game, right? But it's also difficult to do that three times in a row, even as great as he is. It's on the board, right? It's very, very possible. But again, when you look at the ebb and flow of a series, that Dallas has chances to adjust, right? They've got two home games to finish this out, and they're an excellent road team. So there's a lot to, you know, there is a lot going well right now.
Yeah.
But there are some things, Mark, that aren't. There's a couple of worrying things coming out of the last game. Three on my mind. Three Stars at various points left last night's contest. Rupe Hintz, Chris Tanev, and Craig Smith all saw time on the bench due to injury to varying degrees. Where do you want to start?
I think you start with Hintz. That was kind of the major one left after just you know, half a minute worth of play in the second period. And everything I've seen is you know, it's listed as an upper body injury, and you have to think that it was cross check onto the wrist or hand.
Yep, that little play before the shot block.
Yep, and so, you know, that's something that potentially, you know, I don't see that being a long-term thing unless there's just some major breakage that doesn't allow Hintz to hold a stick. But you know, that has to be worrying, because that means that your top line center is out. It moves Sagan up, it moves probably Dodonov up. You know, these are things that Dallas has been through before. They've been successful at it, but it makes you depend more on your depth.
And you certainly, like, when you think about trying to close out the Colorado Avalanche, the idea of having Rupe Hintz out there to chase down some of their speed, you know, speed burners is much more appealing than not having him out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you turn around and you know, we know a lot less about Tanev. It certainly looked from what I saw that there was a semi-intentional slew foot that kicked kind of leg out. It made that force into the boards a little harder than it needed to be. But you know, Tanev has just been so instrumental in controlling Kinnon that if it turns out to be bigger than hope, some adjustments are going to have to be made because somebody's going to have to continue to try and shut down that top line.
Then that's when you get into the problem with Nils Lundqvist playing 4 minutes a night and what that looks like. I guess it, in theory, it helps you that the Texas Stars got eliminated and now you potentially could go to a Gavin Bayreuther. There are other options there, not great ones. We don't yet know how close, if at all, Jani Hakanpää is. The hope right now, and I've been scouring the intertubes all day, the hope right now is that it was more precautionary than anything else. By the time Tanev got slew-footed, right, the game was over. Things were well in hand. It felt like one of those moments when you could kind of say, hey, let's just not let this turn into a thing. So you hope that they dodged a bullet there because, yeah, to your point, we've been saying it all postseason, trying to say it softly so as to keep the whammy out of the world. But it's one of the real vulnerabilities of this team has been on the back line. And even before he had a just phenomenal playoff, right, there was a risk there. And then you compound that by saying Tanev has been as instrumental as any Dallas Star to this point. So that's definitely a major point of concern.
Yeah, and so we'll see. Yeah, it has to be a mentality of next man up if that's what it is. Having some Texas guys around may be helpful. Bayreuther certainly has some NHL experience, as does Pouliot. Bayreuther is probably a bit more defensively responsible, but who knows? You have Liam Bixel back there as well. I don't know that you throw him into. A series like this, but he's certainly an option, and there are some people who say why not.
Yeah, and I think the other option you have is we've been talking about usage and talking about ice time, and yes, the likes of Harley, Lindell, and Haskin have been playing more than they're accustomed to, but not to an insane degree, and if you have to, maybe game five is the game that somebody finally breaks the 30-minute mark. You know, and there are options where, yeah, you need to call somebody up you can trust. You need to plug in a sixth guy that you can use. But it's also possible that part of the way you deal with this is everybody just plays a little bit more, and you hope that it's enough to get you. You hope that it's enough to get you through. You hope that you get a long series out of Colorado out of Edmonton and Vancouver, and you hope that whatever is going on heals up in time for the next round if you make it.
Yep. And then, you know, finally, Craig Smith caught an edge, caught a rut.
Yep.
Looked like he came back. He depends on his wheels a bunch, so you don't know if that's just a tweak or whatever. But he didn't seem to show any signs that this was going to be a long-term problem. It's one of those things that probably by the end of the playoffs, it's just another one of those bumps and bruises that you end up suffering through as you recover from the playoff run.
Yeah, I think you're right. So yeah, we really, as fans, you cross your fingers, you hope that it's all manageable. You know, the what's the old cliche, right? Nobody's healthy this time of year. Stars have been, you know, this is, again, we've been crowing about depth all season, right? So this is where some of that depth, especially in terms of hints, like it is a huge loss, but thankfully, right, they've got a guy in Radek Foxa, a guy in Ty Dellandrea, who can certainly play NHL caliber minutes if you need them to. You've got a kid in Maverick Bork who just had a heck of a season and a heck of a run. So maybe you dip into the Black Aces pool if you have to. So they're the forward core. You have more flexibility and you have more margin of error because, like you said, the answer is just maybe the next guy up continues to play well. And that's enough. It's the defense that you're really hoping that one's just a bump or a bruise and something that Tanev can push past fast.
Yeah. And, you know, Hintz is a center and the stars have just piled up good centers out there. Dellandrea can play center. Foxa can play center. Bork can play center. So there are options there. Yep.
So everybody can play center.
Yeah, exactly. And still maintain it where you have two guys who can take faceoffs on every single line.
Yep.
Oh, I think maybe, you know, we'll see what happens with Tanev. I think your first step, if Tanev is not available, is to just bring in somebody who can handle that right side and eat maybe 12, 13 minutes.
Yep.
I don't think this is something that's going to change the exposure to Nils Lundqvist. just because, you know, he's all action all the time. You know, we went over that on the last podcast. The number of goals per minute on ice on both ways is pretty high. And so you're going to want somebody who can come in and shut down. You know, in previous years, this would have been Joel Hanley. Of course, we probably would have been seeing Joel Hanley the entire series.
I mean, he would have been in there from the start.
Yeah, but you know, my guess is that somebody like Bayreuther or Petrovic is probably the kind of guy who would move in a situation like that.
Yeah, I think you hope so. Prone. And you can see the path. And you know, I think if you're the Stars, it doesn't change how you play as a team, right? The structure, you hope that the fact that this isn't a bunch of guys freelancing and freewheeling, and that, you know, is you hope that everybody sticks with the plan and that the plan continues to work, even if you've got to swap a couple pieces.
Yep. Yep. And then, you know, finally here, Jake Oettinger has been solid in net. He's been, he hasn't been scrambling. He hasn't been swimming. His save percentage and goals against per game is incredible here since that first game that was played against Vegas. And I think maybe I need to push back a little bit on Georgiev, just because I've never seen so many compliments on a guy who has a save percentage in the 880 range. So yeah, he's making some spectacular saves, but at the end of every game, he's taking L's, and there are plenty of pucks that are making it by him.
Yeah, and that's not untrue. I think it's just, you know, you see the set, he's making some good stops along the way, and I think this comes down to how well Dallas is executing, that they're getting enough chances that he can make a couple of saves that stand out in your mind and still be the guy that let in four goals last night. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the Vegas series where things are just tightened down so much that you kind of you're sitting there waiting for the next opportunity to come by. We're seeing a lot of high danger chances coming from Dallas throughout the various lines. And so, yeah, the sheer volume, he's going to make some great saves.
Yeah. And it becomes incumbent upon Dallas to continue to generate those chances. And so far they've done a great job of not letting those saves, especially early, get in their heads, right? It's a keep plugging away and get rewarded series. And so far so good. Well, all right. Oh. Any closing thoughts before Wednesday?
I mean, just a few comments. We did see Jonathan Drouin and Caleb Jones draw in. Their numbers, if you take a look at what the stats say as opposed to the on-ice said they were okay.
Yep.
But you know, Jones took two penalties. I'm not sure that, you know, one of them might have been bad. The other one kind of needed to happen. Drouin was what you would expect. He contributed on offense. He was pretty much a weakness on defense. So definitely a step down from what Nichushkin had been doing. And missing Taves, I didn't think Girard was really up to handling that top pair role. So, if Taves is back, it'll be a slightly different story. But Colorado has depth issues there. And some if they don't get Taves back, there are some things to exploit, and having Drouin instead of Nichushkin is not ideal for them, especially if they want to try and shut down the Stars.
And I think you certainly like your chances if you're the Stars, but again, it's I think your mentality has to be the same as it was going into game four, right? And that nothing is settled. These games have all been dangerous. The only thing that Dallas has proved so far is if they don't let up, that they can get good results. And so it will be incumbent upon them. You know, we talked about this the same way in game seven against Las Vegas. I think this is where we hopefully see some of those lessons come back and help. They're going to have a home crowd to feed off of, but not overfeed, right? They're going to have to keep walking that line between aggression and foul, because Colorado, if there's anything that you can do to give them breathing room, it's give them a bunch of power plays. But I think, you know, if you're the Stars, you like where you're at and you know what you have to do. And your challenge is how do you execute, versus if you're the Avalanche, you're looking for solutions. And I think you'd always rather be the team that only has to worry about execution versus the team that has to be worried about making a change.
I fully agree.
It'll be a good one. I'm excited. Hopefully they can get the job done. Mark, always a pleasure. KT, thank you for taking some time out of your day to put this together. This has been Stargazing, presented to you by Bet Online. Podcast over.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.